You know, normally, you know, you come back on popular demand. Well, actually, I'm not back on popular demand. I'm back on Jess's demand. I figured I would wear a red shirt so to keep everybody awake this morning. Good morning, everyone. Today is a very special day, Father's Day. And many of us here are fathers, and many of us will be soon be fathers. And what we have to think about today is about our Supreme Father. You know, we're not here just to be honored as a father because we have a family and children, but we have to honor our true Father, our God. He's the person that without Him, we wouldn't be here. And it's His love and kindness that inspires us. And today, I want to talk a little bit about what you should do or what you should be to be a Christian father. Now, in today's world, that's rather tough. Yeah, there's so many things, there are so many distractions, so many different things that pull us in different ways. But as a Christian father, you have to be self-sacrificing to God. You have to give yourself entirely to God. And as a result of that giving, you will be the spiritual leader, the provider, and the protector for your family. And those three things are three unique items that we're going to talk about a little bit this morning. A Christian father is called to lead with love and truth. That's what we're talking about as far as self-sacrifice. We want to lead in the love of God for our families. We want to provide for our family, and we want to model Christ-like character in every aspect of life. Now, we know that we get pulled in many directions every day, and oftentimes we forget that we are supposed to be Christ-like in our action. And because of that, we are not that model that we want to be for our children, our families, our friends, other fathers. First of all, we're the spiritual leader of our household. We set the tone for faith and devotion in our homes. We lead by example in prayer, by praying together as a family, by reading the Bible together as a family, by going to church every Sunday as a family, and reverence for God, guiding your family toward a closer relationship with Christ. So you have quite a responsibility there. You're the role model. You're leading your family to everything that's Christ-like in your life. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Even went up on the screen. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. That's a pretty strong message. What's he saying? What's God saying here? What's Joshua saying here? You know, he's basically saying, do it or get out. Make your decision. Are you going to live a Christ-like life and be a true Christian father, or are you going to make the decision to do something else? But what he's saying here is that you make that decision, that you are going to be Christ-like, and you're going to guide your family that way. In Ephesians 6:4, they say, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Why is that important? If you're always nagging and being non-compassionate and not being a true Christ-like father, and you're nagging your children, you're going to push them away. If you force them to do things in the church, you force them to pray, if you force them to read the Bible and don't take the time and energy to explain why it's important that you do that, you're going to force them into anger. They're going to resent that, and they're going to walk away. The minute you give them the opportunity to walk away, they're going to walk away because they're resentful. So as parents, as a father, you're warned against harsh treatment. You need to be patient, be kind, be loving, be truthful. The goal is to foster a healthy emotional and spiritual environment in your home. Second thing, fathers are responsible for providing for the physical, emotional, and spiritual needs of their family. This includes the more obvious things, food, shelter, safety, and emotional support. Okay, but not always in that same order, not always in that same direction. You know, oftentimes when we think that we are the providers, that we our only responsibility is to get up every morning, go to work, bring home a paycheck at the end of the week. Being a father is much more than that, much more than that. That is probably the least important of things. I know growing up, my brother can attest to this, my father always had time for it, always. He was involved with us in scouting. He was involved with us. You know, he wasn't really into sports much himself as a child, but he would come to all of our sporting events. He was always there. He had an environment. We always had family supper. And if you weren't home in time for supper, you were in trouble. Not for the fact that you wouldn't get fed, but for the fact that, you know, you were to be there. Dad would come home from work every day at 5 o'clock, and at 5:30, you know, we would sit down at the table as a family, talk about what happened during the day, just talk about things in general. And then we would have our chores afterwards. We would take turns washing dishes. One would dry, one would wash. But it was a family environment. It was a healthy environment. We don't see that often these days. Oftentimes, both parents are working. One's going out the doors, the other one's coming home. They don't have dinner at home. They eat out all the time. You don't have Sunday dinners. They don't have any of those things. But all of those things are important for developing a healthy and strong emotional and spiritual family. In Timothy 5:8, 1 Timothy 5:8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Think about that. You don't provide for your own. You don't take care of your family. You deny them faith because you don't show them as a role model, as an example, that you are spiritual and Christ-like. You don't encourage them to pray on their own. That was something else that, you know, I was thinking today, and I changed this presentation or this sermon around several times. Most of you know that I grew up as a Catholic, and as a Catholic, we did things a little bit different than most people. But one thing growing up, Dad would always take us when we were kids and go into our bedrooms at night, sit on the bed, and we would kneel down next to the bed, and when we were too young to remember what the prayers were, he would help us with the prayers, but we would pray. And that's what we did every night. And I'm thinking, you know, we used to say, an Our Father, a Hail Mary, an Act of Contrition. You know, and those were the three prayers that you would say. And it's drilled into our hearts and our souls, and remember those prayers to this day. So that's important, to spend that time. To foster that relationship and to have those family suppers and those just little get-togethers. You know, it's very important that you're aware of your family's needs. That's the big thing, is being a provider. You know, that you are emotionally there for them when they need you. That you're there to understand. First thing that you can do is, as a father or as a parent in general, is to disregard or not be aware of your family's not only physical needs, but their emotional needs. You know, if your son or your daughter or your wife is having an emotional problem and you ignore it, say, oh, let it go, they'll take care of themselves. That's your job as a provider, as a protector. A Christian father is a teacher of God's word and life principles, instructing his children in righteousness and in wisdom. What does that mean? This week in particular, I drive a lot with my job, and I listen to the radio. And it seems like the big thing nowadays, or the big problem is, the statistic is 70% of youth in this country are lacking in life skills. That's pretty an amazing statistic. I mean, there are kids that are 20 years old that can't do laundry. They couldn't use a toaster if they needed to, because it was always done for them, or they were given money to go buy food somewhere else. You know, as a father, you take the time. I know my father did. I mean, to show you basic skills, how to use a hammer, how to use a screwdriver. He tells me to go get a crescent wrench out of the drawer in the garage in the toolbox. I know what a crescent wrench is. You know, simple things like that. Basic life skills. So from a physical point of view, you get the basic life skills so that you can survive on your own. So you're actually enhancing their lives, and you're protecting them, and you're encouraging them. And you're also spending time with them, which is important. And that's one of the big things, you know, that there's no time for anybody to spend together as a family. And that's absolutely no excuse for that. None. You have to make the time. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 7, these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and yet you shall repeat them diligently to your sons and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk on the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Wow, what a message. Goes back to what I was just talking about. It's not something that you do on Sundays, that you come to church and you sit next to each other in church as a family and you pray. That's what happens all too often. It means that when you're sitting at the table and you sit down for a meal, that you pray as a family, thank the Lord for the food that he's provided for you, for keeping you healthy, for making sure that you're not sick. Taking the time when you're driving in the car to make aware of God's creation. Talk about those things. How wonderful it is that God has given those things to us. You know, it's interesting now too, listening on the radio, you got people from all over the world coming to the United States for the World Cup. And they are amazed at how beautiful America is. God made America. God bless America. It's because of the beauty of his creation that these people are loving it. I mean, I heard this morning there are people that when they first found out that the World Cup was going to be in the United States, they were buying tickets immediately. I mean, it was years ago. But there, as soon as that ticket was available so that they could come and see the beautiful, amazing things that are here in the world. So point those out to your children and your family. Take your time to go on vacation. All too often we don't take vacation. It doesn't necessarily have to be a 2-week vacation to the Bahamas, or you know, 3 weeks to Florida. I mean, it could be just taking a day, taking an afternoon off from mowing the grass or working on the car or doing something, and going to Ricketts Glen, going for a walk in the woods. I mean, many kids today don't see them outside. I mean, that's another thing John and I were talking about it yesterday. It's kind of ironic. It goes back to life skills. You know, they said one of the major problems with kids and young kids nowadays is obesity. Well, why? They sit in the house, eat potato chips, or scrolling or texting on their phones or gaming on their computers, and you never see them outside. But then I have to laugh. I mean, I guess my generation, you talk about it. How did we get around when we were kids? Walk or bicycle or scooters. What are kids now? They bicycle. Yeah, at 40 miles an hour on an electric bike down the road. So you're not getting any exercise, and you're missing out on the whole experience of doing those things as a kid. And that's important. But as a family, as a father, I mean, it's not wrong to have those things for your children, but you should also be aware that they're, make them experience life. Don't do it for them. Don't enable them. Don't make it easier for them. Life isn't easy, by no means. And then when they go out on their own and are trying to live a life on their own, they can't do things on their own. Like, Mom, Dad, what do I do? I can't do this. I don't know how to do this. Well, bing it. Figure it out. You know, there are so many different ways, but that you have to encourage your kids to do things on their own. Don't do it all for them. Important thing that you have to understand is we learn from God by his behavior. You know, he rewards us for certain things. He corrects us for certain things. You know, he punishes us for certain things. But children learn from their father's behavior. A Christian father models integrity, humility, patience, faithfulness, and forgiveness. My father was a role model. He didn't get married until he was 29. I didn't get married until I was 29. But everything that he did, when I was preparing this sermon, was thinking about everything that he did had a purpose. It wasn't done just because it had to be done. As I said before, he took the time and he had the patience to work with us, with my brothers and my sisters, and teach us things. You know, and that is important. And if you show that, I mean, if you as a father walk around and you hit your hand with a hammer and you put out some slur of curse words or whatever to do that, what do you think? There was a song, I don't know who wrote it, but the little boy was in the back seat of the car and he hit the brakes. And, yep, his OJ went all over the place and his French fries fell and he said, OS. And it's like, where did you hear that? Or where did you learn that? He said, from you, Dad. That's what you said. I mean, so he's a role model. And there were several other examples in that song. So, you know, if you go around doing that, you know, that's not setting an example. If you as a father are yelling at your wife, or yelling at your kids, what do you think your kids are going to learn to do? Instead of showing patience and being kind. Yeah, you may be madder than a hornet, but at the same time, you step back, you take a breath, and you address it in a humble, peaceful, and loving way. That's difficult, isn't it? Very difficult. I mean, if somebody, that's something that I'm learning, still learning, that, you know, somebody crosses the line and gets into my space, I would immediately blow up and get back at him. There's no way you can't do that. But I've become more patient. And I've just learned that after becoming a Christian. And that's really important because your kids will learn that. If you fly off the handle, they're going to fly off the handle. If you kindly say something, well, I don't agree with that, they are most likely going to learn that. I mean, their environment is what happens. I mean, there are other statistics about, you know, like young babies, when they're born at 2 weeks or 3 weeks, they learn certain things from their parents that they carry with them for the rest of their lives. It's a learning experience. If I could learn how to put this on, that's a learning experience. But, you know, just being able to do those things and taking the time is very important. In Proverbs 27, chapter 20, verse 7, a righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him. What a message. Real simple phrase. Learn by example. Remember, you're being watched. This doesn't only go for fathers. It also goes for mothers. It's everything that you do, your children are observing. They want to be like you. And That's a big pressure, a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure. And at the same time, we as adults, as fathers and as mothers, we want to be like Christ. That is our role or our job or our desire. We want to be Christ-like. So if we want that in our hearts and in our souls to be Christ-like, and we live a life like that, it's going to be very simple to be a role model for your children. Very, very simple. Interesting aspect now. This is a tough one. How many know what a woodshed is? If you were told as a kid, you're going to the woodshed, what did that mean? You're getting a switch and you're going to the woodshed. Well, in our house, we didn't have a woodshed. We lived in a community, but we had a bathroom. That was the woodshed. All Dad had to say was, well, your mom would say when before Dad, wait until your father gets home. And okay, then he'd come in and probably the last thing in the world he wanted to hear about was how terrible you were that day or what we did. I mean, John and I used to, I'd get him as mad as a hornet. And he was like, I used to play like a bull. And he'd come at me and I'd do the tours. And then he'd get madder and madder. And then the one day we knocked over the couch in the living room and my mother was crying and carrying on. Wait until your father gets home. So you're going to go to the woodshed. And all he had to say was, you're going to the woodshed. And you became the best person in the world. I mean, you just didn't want to go there. I mean, that was not a good experience. So, you know, it's important for discipline in a life. You as an individual, we have to be disciplined as adults in our lives so that we again can live a Christ-like life. It takes a lot of discipline. And you can't be afraid to punish. In Proverbs 13:24, he who withholds his rod hates his son. So if you're not willing to lift that staff, to get that switch, to take your son or your daughter to the woodshed, you actually hate them. You're discrediting them. You're not doing them a favor. But he who loves him disciples him diligently. So, I mean, you think about that. If you truly love your children, love your family, you disciple them, you discipline them, you give them guidance. That doesn't mean that you beat your kids. I mean, nowadays you hear about a 10-year-old that hires an attorney or calls an attorney and they're suing their mother or their father because they corrected them or they you know, slapped them or something like that. I mean, that seems to be another one of things that are lacking in families. You know, there's no respect. One of the commandments, honor thy mother and thy father. If you don't demand respect and honor from your children, you're not going to get it. And they're never going to give it to anyone else. And how often kids that are here or us as adults that have parents, you actually thank them. Think about that. How many times in your life, how many times in the day, how many times in a week, how many times ever have you gone to your parents, your father, your mother, and said, Mom, Dad, I love you. You know, and as you get older, as I get older, unfortunately, both my parents have passed, I don't have the opportunity to do that. And I have regrets as far as that's concerned because, you know, I love my parents, my father and my mother. But I feel that I didn't show them the respect and the honor. Everything that they did for me and did for my family and did for my brothers and my sisters was from their heart. It was heartfelt. I mean, they would give things up so that we could have. You know, my mom went back to work. She started to work in a. She was a very good seamstress. She went back to work after we got a little bit bigger and we were all going to school. So she got a job that she could go to work after we went to school and could be home when we got home from school, so that we weren't home unattended. I mean, back in the day, we didn't have daycare. And there was no such thing. So, you know, they gave up all that extra effort. But then at the same time, you know, my mom would come home and make dinner, have dinner on a table for Dad and the rest of the family. She was honoring him as her husband, and he was a provider and worker. He didn't want my mom to work. And the only reason that she decided to go back to work, and it was interesting because this was sort of, if she would have continued to work, she was a ring-eating operator for a telephone company, for AT&T. And she, well, my mom and dad both met at working for the telephone company, for Bell Telephone. And she actually had more time in, and she would have been able to retire if she would continue to work, would have had more time to retire. But my dad insisted that she stop work to stay home and take care of us kids. And then she didn't go back until it was enough time. And one of the biggest reasons that she went back to work was they wanted us to have Catholic raising. I was the oldest, so I went to Catholic school the least. But all four of us ended up going to a Catholic school and graduating from a Catholic school all the way through high school. The ironic thing is that our youngest brother, he was the only one that went 12 years to Catholic school, and he was the biggest tyrant of us all. So there's a little bit of questionable what he got, you know, out of that. But, you know, it's all that, but the bringing was there. They put us in a situation and they put us in an atmosphere where we could learn about God. Because in a Catholic relation or in a Catholic religion, not like, it's not as open as what we're experiencing here in a Christian community. Everything is very regimented. If you've never been to a Catholic service, it's kind of funny. If you take somebody that has never been to a Catholic church, and it's like you're stand up, you kneel down, you have certain times up, down, you're just like, what are you doing? It's like, they don't understand. And, you know, the services, you know, my father, he was a devout Catholic. Actually, he was in the seminary. He was studying to be a priest, and he got sick. And so somebody was saying that he wasn't supposed to become a priest, but he was a role model. We always went to church. We went to 7:30 Mass every Sunday, and we sat in the same pew every Sunday. And heaven forbid somebody would come in and go in your seat. That was unheard of. You know, during the Lenten season, which is the Easter season, we would go to Wednesday night service. We would go to Stations of the Cross every Friday. Heaven forbid, on Good Friday, you know, in the Catholic Church, you have Holy Thursday, you have Good Friday, you have Holy Saturday, and you have Easter. I mean, the four big days of the year. I remember I was a teenager, and some of you may remember this song, Jesus Christ Superstar. That was the big thing at the time. Well, I thought it was pretty cool. You know, okay, it's the 3 hours of darkness from noon until three, honoring being reverent for, you know, Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and dying on the cross. Well, I thought it was a cool idea, play Jesus Christ Superstar during that. Well, that was almost the woodshed experience. that was like, no, you are silent during those 3 hours. Definitely. We had to go to church. Yeah. Well, and without mittens. In discipline and in that experience, you have to balance your correction with compassion. What does that mean? Balance your correction with passion. Well, you just don't need to scream at your children if they're doing something wrong. You don't need to beat them if they're not doing something wrong. You have to be compassionate. Remember the virtues, you know, love, joy, kindness, self-control. Those are all important in discipline. Knowing when to raise your voice if necessary, when to be patient. There's nothing wrong with letting someone experience something, even though you know the outcome is not going to be good. Let them learn from experience. Teach your children responsibility. Give them jobs. What do you mean you can't wash the dishes? Give them chores. How many kids, how many families, and I was guilty of it. My sons never cut the grass. They're 35 and 36. They never mowed the grass, ever. I did it. They had other things to do. But, they're both doing well in life, and they both cut their grass, and they actually keep it nicer than what I do. So I don't know where they learned it from, but they learned it somewhere. But, teach them self-control. Teach them self-control, but so that they don't fly off the handle. They don't need that fancy sports car. As long as the car has four wheels or five wheels, one's pretty important. But as long as they can get from point A to B, don't go out and buy them a Maserati or a Porsche or. A friend of mine, I think I might have told you that story. Her daughter, she had a BMW. That's what she got for her first car. And I wish, I won't want a BMW anyway, but so where do you go from there? If you start at the very top, where do you go from there? You have to learn and teach your kids self-control to start at the bottom and help them work their way up. Christian father's role extends beyond immediate family. He shapes the next generation. His influence affects his children's faith, character, and future relationships. So as that role model, you're creating the next generation. If you don't teach your children to love God, have respect for God, to take the time on their own to pray, and to read their Bibles when they can. I'm guilty. I don't read my Bible every day. I'll admit it. I make excuses or something else to do. But if you teach them to do that on their own, and again, as an example, both my sons, they're going to be 35 and 36 this year. They went to church until they were 18. And except for both of them are Marines, and both of them would go to the Catholic service on Sundays so that they would have more downtime because the other services were later. So they would have more downtime on a Sunday. So at least they went to church when they were in the service. Probably not for the right reasons. But I don't think, I was divorced, and my oldest son was with me. And my youngest son was with his mother. So they didn't have that family unity and that family. And believe me, trying to get my oldest son to go to church every Sunday, I would take him. And I went against everything that I just said here or early on. It was resentful. And that's probably why he doesn't go to church on a regular basis now. Because I forced him to go, and I didn't explain why. I said, you have to go to church. You're Catholic. You go to church on every Sunday morning, regardless of if you get 3 feet of snow or whatever, you have to go. But I didn't go about it the right way, and I failed in that part as a father. So, that building, that nurturing, that nurturing for your next generation so that they lovingly and willingly continue to show their love and respect for God and do it on their own. They're not forced. So that next generation continues on. Now you read in the news the new generation that they're now going back to church. There seems to be an increase in the number of young people that are going back to church, and there are several reasons for that. Everything goes back to COVID because they were isolated and they couldn't be with people and they missed out on groups and they didn't go to their senior prom and all these different things because of COVID. But now they're finding that they can get that group interaction and relationships by going to church. And just this morning with the announcement about kids camp, amazing. You get 250 some kids come here to kids camp every year. and they willingly come. They actually look forward to it. I mean, that's a great blessing from you as parents, that you are teaching them and you are nurturing them and encouraging them to do it on their own. And some kids haven't given their lives to Christ at that point, but many of them give their lives to Christ while they're here, and they have that dedication. It's important to know, excuse me, sons often emulate their father's behavior. What you do, they will do. Like I said at the beginning, they want to be like you. So that's a lot of pressure again, you know, to be that person so that when they move on in life on their own, that they've learned. And I learned that from my father. He taught us self-respect, and to respect others, to respect elders. I mean, how many kids, and it drives me nuts. But to give you a story, an example, my former wife, she grew up on the Pensy side in Trenton. So she was pretty much, she knew, you know, city life and tough. And I never expected her to be like this. When she first moved up and started living up here in the Cunningham area, she went down to one day to play tennis. Just hit the ball off the wall, and, you know, just a little exercise on her own. And there were three or four guys, young kids, started cat whistling, calling her names, and saying very rude things to her, and obnoxious, obscene things to her. And she comes up to the house in tears. And it's like, what's wrong? He said, these young kids were there. They were being rude to me and saying those things. They had no respect for me as an adult or an elder. And so I went down. They had ended up getting respected and so on. But it's, you know, like the kids today, or not today, I don't want to generalize, but you know, you as a family, as a parent, as a father, you know, open the door for your wife. Open the door for someone when you're at sheets. Kids look at you like, you know, what are you doing? You don't know that person. But being by example. And I do this all the time, and I make a point of it, and I, you know, say hi to someone. They look, especially you go into sheets or you go in anywhere and you get the young high school person that's behind the cash register. And you say hi to them. And they look at you like, what? I don't know you. I said, so what? I said, hey, you having a good day? I did that to an attendant up at, it was around Christmas time, up at the Dollar Tree in Hazleton. And there was an older man. He was working the cash register, and he may have had some difficulties, but everybody was being totally rude to him. You know, Christmas season, we're in a hurry, we're trying to get through the line, and everybody's backed up, and he was going slow, and he's very meticulous, but they were just being rude to him. So when I got up there, I said hi and asked him his name, and how he was doing, and he got a smile. He's like, nobody ever did that for me. And my son was with me, and he said, do you do that often? I said, yeah. I said, you made that guy's day. I said, yeah. He smiled. Everybody else was being rude to him, you know, kicking him down. Think about the Good Samaritan. You know, I mean, that simple. Half a dozen words made that guy's his entire day. And I was being Christ-like. My son learned from that as well. Hopefully he carries that on in the future. Now, we talked about sons. They emulate their father. They want to be like their father. What about daughters? How do you think it affects the daughter? If I'm a mean, nasty father, and I'm rude to people, What do you think that daughter is going to learn from that? Yep. Many times, right. That's what they're going to find, and they often find themselves in that sort of relationship because that's the way the husband's supposed to be. Oh, well, he's an okay guy. He's abusive. He's mean. He's nasty. He's going to yell at me. I can accept that. That's not right. If you as a father are a very kind, loving individual, you show respect to your wife. You show respect to your kids. They're going to expect that in a husband. So again, the domino effect, very important, very, very important. You don't want your daughter to get into an abusive relationship or a bad relationship. You want her to have a respect for herself and to look for someone that's going to respect her. So that's how you influence your daughter as a father. As I said in the beginning, being a Christian father is self-sacrificing, is a self-sacrificing love of God. It's a sacred calling. Well, that's scary, isn't it? The sacred calling. What does that mean? What is a sacred calling? How am I going to be sacred? Well, you are being called by God to have a steadfast commitment and a godly character. You need a spiritual leadership, and you have to have loving guidance. So everything that you do, again, is a reflection on your family, and they're going to learn from that. And that's a lot of pressure, a lot of pressure. We need to step back as fathers and look at our lives and say, am I doing a good job? And in preparing this sermon, I had to reflect on that. And I'll give myself maybe a C+. There are things that I could have done better, things that I could have changed, things that I know now that I didn't know then that may have influenced my son's lives. Fortunately, both of them have turned out quite well. They've been very successful. They serve their country in the military. They both have good jobs. They one's married, one's dating. And their lives are whole and complete. And they are kind and loving individuals. So I guess in that way, I was a good reflection to them. And they learned that. Through prayer, teaching, provision, discipline, and modeling Christ-like behavior, a father fulfills all of his biblical responsibilities and nurtures a family that honors God and grows in faith. That's the bottom line. You as a father need to provide prayer and teaching. You need to provide them food and shelter and protection. You have to give them discipline. And by being a role model, you will help them grow to love and to honor the greatest father of all. Thank you.
Good job, Joe. You had a lot of good stuff there. You know, I told Joe and John. And I told them when I get to heaven, I want to have a picnic or a good, nice walk in the woods with your mom and dad because they did an amazing job. They weren't perfect. You guys aren't perfect. Nobody's perfect. But they did some things that were right. And second of three things is this. It's never too late to start. Never too late to start doing things right. And I'm going to close with a story about a pastor that I met probably about 45 years ago. I was just a new pastor at the time, and I was down in Mobile, Alabama at a conference. And his name was Vernon Simpson. He's been dead for probably 30 plus years now. Matter of fact, his son, Charles Simpson, has been dead for a few years now. But Vernon was sitting across from me at the table for lunch. And he looked at me, and he knew I was just a fairly new pastor. And he said, "Jess, I want to teach you a lesson." "Okay, Vernon, what do you want to teach me?" He said, "I want to teach you that there's three ways to fix a leaky roof." "Okay, Vernon, what's the first way to fix a leaky roof?" "You find a big bucket and put it under that leak." "Okay, Vernon, there has to be a better way than a bucket. What's number two?" He said, "Number two is you get a ladder and you climb up on that roof, and you take your tools with you and your tar with you and stuff, and you fix that leaky roof." "Okay, I could do that. But what's the third way?" "Well, the third way is the best way. You get your tools around, you get everything set, you get the ladder set, and you take your kid up on the roof and you teach him how to fix a leaky roof. Now, if you do it that way, your kid will know how to fix a leaky roof, and he'll know how to teach his kids to fix a leaky roof. That's important to do." Never too late to start. Never too late. Thank you, Joe. And thank you, you Gulliver people up in the heaven, if they can hear me. Thanks for coming. God bless you. Have a great Father's Day.